the American drug company that won't take no for an answer.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. Pfizer, the New York-based pharmaceutical company, is still interested in a colossal union with AstraZeneca of Britain. AstraZeneca is still not into it, even if the bid were $100 billion. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker is following this from London. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, David.
Normally, when a suitor is rebuffed several times, they get the message Pfizer is still very interested in AstraZeneca. Why, do you think?
Well, it's certainly partly about bringing together the forces of the two companies in some specific treatment areas, and they mention in their statement cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and particularly cancer. But on this side of the Atlantic, there's also a lot of commentary that it might be partly about tax. Pfizer has a lot of money offshore that's shielded from the American tax authorities. They'd like to put that money to good use, and buying a company where there are some other real benefits would be one tax-efficient way of making that money do some work.
Now, Andrew, when they write the business history of our era, second quarter 2014 seems to be the time for mergers and acquisitions involving pharmaceutical companies. There are a lot of them going on.
That's certainly true. We had some news just last week about GlaxoSmithKline of the UK and Novartis of Switzerland. It's certainly the case that there are a lot of challenges for the pharmaceutical industry as some of their previously very successful blockbuster drugs come off patent and they're moving into areas where the research and development costs are very high and the risks of things not working as well as they hoped are also very high. So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on the industry to restructure and try and come up with a way of replacing what were previously very successful treatments that aren't going to yield them much money in the future.
BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Here in New York, there is a political party that goes by the name of The Rent Is Too Damn High. Sorry about the D word there, but that's the name of the party. Rents in New York City are up 75% since the year 2000. But a new report also finds the average rent in New York is now just about $1,100 a month, and that doesn't sound too bad. We asked Dan Bobkoff to sort this out.
Renting in New York stinks.
Well, the data from the report is chilling.
Scott Stringer should know. He's the controller, and his office put out the report. Here are the bullet points. Since 2000, median incomes are down, but rents are up far more than elsewhere in the U.S., and there are fewer apartments available to the middle class.
We've actually lost 400,000 apartments costing or renting for less than $1,000.
According to Stringer's office, the average rent is now $1,100 a month. But wait, shouldn't that be
closer to $3,200?
Ryan Severino is senior economist at Reese, which compiles this kind of data. But that $3,200 number only looks at apartments on the open market. But here's the thing about New York. More than 60% of rentals are public housing or subsidized or rent regulated. Severino says that can limit supply and
it can make apartments more expensive for anyone who has to compete in sort of the more competitive market.
And yet people keep moving here. In New York, I'm Dan Bobkoff from Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FT 100 in London is up 0.3% right now. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are also up. With U.S. central bankers meeting about interest rates later in the week, the 10-year Treasury yield is down at 2.68%. Once upon a time, like a dope, I waited in line at 5 in the morning with my then 12-year-old to get one of the first Nintendo GameCubes. You may have done this with the newest iPhone or something, but in China, there's a wait right now with a line that is stretched for months. It is a virtual line, but a line nonetheless to buy the all-electric sports car, the Tesla S. In China, it costs the yuan equivalent of $117,000 to get the car with its sinuous lines and 300 to 400 horsepower. China has set a goal of putting 5 million electric cars on the road over the next 6 years, and there's a chance the Tesla will lend some extra cachet to the process as the elite get in on the game early. In Shanghai, 36-year-old film and multimedia producer Cao Wenbo is getting his Tesla SP85 any day now.
I own a car already, and I've been driving it for many years, and I think it's time to upgrade to get a better one. And then I learned that Tesla, which was sold in the U.S. market, is available in China.
He likes the science fiction-y flat-screen control pad built into the dashboard. He also likes the cut of the jib of Elon Musk as the Tesla CEO tries to shake up his industry.
The
pace at which they release new technology is like squeezing toothpaste out of a tube. It takes many years to see a major breakthrough. Elon Musk expresses his ideas through product design. That's very attractive to people doing cutting-edge jobs in China, be they entrepreneurs or young people. He's a model for us to learn from.
Do you think that driving this car will help the environment?
Perhaps each Tesla has a very limited contribution to saving the environment, but its emergence in our lives is a good signal that many environmentally friendly products and concepts can be gradually applied. They're no longer just a concept in the labs. It's also very eye-catching, and for some it's a status symbol. For me, it'll be fun to drive.
Film producer Cao Wenbo is getting his Model S in blue with a gray interior, he says. And like just about any long line for some object of desire, there are now accusations that some people are cutting. People in China who ordered the Tesla last year but who live outside the cities of Beijing or Shanghai say they've been told they won't get their cars until June or later, even though they may have signed up early. The Wall Street Journal says the aggrieved have hired a lawyer. Tesla says it needs the time to get its service and charging infrastructure up and running outside those big cities. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.